I'm Dane Young with UGASports.com, and joining me today is former UGA punter and an expert on everything name, image, and likeness with his new line of work. He is Drew Butler. And Drew, I guess I forgot that you're a podcaster as well with Aaron Murray. We had a little funny Twitter beef a while back. Maybe that's why I forgot it, because I wanted to show the seniority. But you guys have a great show, and I appreciate you joining me today.
Absolutely, Dan. Yeah, glad to be here. I forget what the beef was about. Obviously, it was all tongue-in-cheek, and we were having fun. But, yeah, punt and pass, rocking and rolling. We're getting ready for Season 5. You know, we keep it seasonal. We'll fire it up during fall camp, get everybody ready for the season coming up, and then we have two shows a week all throughout college football season. It's going to be an exciting one if you're a Georgia football fan this fall, so we're looking forward to it.
I rarely encourage people to check out other UGA podcasts, because I think the work we do at UGASports.com is right there with everyone else, above everyone else. But what you guys do is great. And so, yeah, check them out and make sure you support what they're doing over at Punt and Pass. But Drew, the reason I really wanted to chat with you today is because of the other piece of your work that you've gotten into. So why don't you update our audience of where you're at and what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Earlier this year, I joined up with Icon Source. I'm now the executive vice president of their collegiate division. And Icon Source is an on-demand marketplace software that started in 2019. Founder and CEO goes by the name of Chase Garrett. He actually ran Red Bull's sports marketing athlete program for 7 years. He has tons of experience with professional athletes. He's done thousands of endorsement deals. He was a sports agent at one time, and he saw how inefficient sports marketing was for the 99% of athletes out there and for the 99% of brands who want to engage with athletes, right? When you think of sports marketing, you're going to think of JJ Watt, Larry Fitzgerald, LeBron James, right? Like the top of the top athletes who get humongous endorsements deals. And that's what Chase was doing. And he stepped away from that essentially dream job and said, hey, I can make this process much better to really widen the scope of sports marketing and help athletes who may not be in the limelight and help brands who are might be intimidated through the sports marketing lens and connect them together. And he's doing that through software. So Icon Source started in 2019. Over 1,500 professional athletes use it. The top agencies in America use it. CAA, IMG, William Morris, Wasserman. And high-profile brands use it. And they do deals daily on Icon Source since 2019. Tons of experience doing deals with brands and athletes. I reached out to Chase last summer. This is during the middle of COVID. There's no sports going on, no sports marketing going on. Actually, former teammate of mine and a guy who works at the University of Georgia right now, Sean Chappis, he knew I was really interested in name, image, and likeness. I had talked to him about some of the ideas that I had around, and he said, hey, you need to check this out. Sounds a lot like what you have envisioned. And I reached out to Chase Garrett on LinkedIn. I said, man, this is unbelievable. I see your software. It's brilliant. Have you thought about how it could be utilized at the collegiate level with name, image, and likeness supposed to be having the rule changes in January of 2021? We started a conversation. He said, yeah, since there's no sports or sports marketing going on right now, we're creating our collegiate platform. I stayed in touch with them. I was helping them in a sort of consulting role through the end of 2020. And in 2021, they offered for me to come join the team. It's something I'm really passionate about. For over 2 years, I've been thinking about name, image, and likeness really from a student athlete's perspective. And when you say that, the student athletes are excited about one thing. That's the opportunity to get paid, right? The rule change is now student athletes can get compensated for their individual name, image, and likeness. The rule change is not student athletes can be educated on how to be compensated for their name, image, and likeness. And when you look at a lot of the companies who are in the space right now, who make a lot of the headlines, they are joining forces with the universities, being paid by the universities to educate the administration, to educate the student athletes, to consult with the student athletes and help them build their profiles and engage on social media and provide them with the education, which is extremely important. I mean, we're not downplaying that whatsoever, but the groups who engage directly with the universities and who are paid by the universities, it pretty explicitly states in the legislation that universities directly or indirectly cannot cause compensation for the student athletes. So essentially this, these groups that are giving these student athletes massive education cannot help them get paid. That's where Icon Source comes in. Icon Source is a software technology where athletes can create profiles, brands can create profiles, hyperlocal brands like the ones that support UGASports.com can create profiles. They can look through the athlete database of Georgia athletes that are on Icon Source, and they can facilitate deals in a secure and transparent manner. We take all that information. We secure the payment. We have contract templates that heavily protect the student athlete and the brand through a legal document. Okay. We've got a communication box where the brand can engage directly with the student athlete. And then once a deal is signed, we take all that information and give it to the university for free. We have no official business contract with them so that they can disclose it on behalf of the student athlete. It's what's most important with name, image, and likeness rule change, getting these kids paid the right way. It's really exciting, and we've gotten tons of really good reception from student athletes at Georgia.
Let's back up and talk about kind of the name, image, and likeness, because that's such a phrase now, and I think people don't pause and actually kind of understand a bit of the history of it. And I remember even in your playing days, you know, people thought – it's kind of unfair that Todd Gurley can have that number three. It'd be selling in the bookstore, people paying what, it's $70, $80 to get a jersey. That money goes to UGA and the Athletic Association, whatever, goes to the bookstore, goes to whoever it does. Todd Gurley doesn't see any of it. And that seems unfair. Was that the genesis of it? Or at least for me, and maybe you can tell me where it kind of entered your brain through your career. It seemed like the NCAA video game was really the big thing that said, oh, that is where the money is being lost now. So it seems like to me that was almost like the first linchpin to get to where we're at now.
Yeah, the O'Bannon case, which had to do with the video game, certainly was a massive piece of the change needing to happen. I just think how popular college athletics is and how much money these universities make really kind of pushed the public narrative to say it's time. You know, it's 2021. Look at the influence that these student athletes have. Check out their social media profiles, the reach that they have, just the good that they do in their communities. I mean, college athletes at a very high level have tons of influence and have a lot of marketability, and they should be able to make money off their name, image, and likeness. I think it's really important for the casual fan to understand this. This is not the universities paying student athletes on top of their scholarships. The money has to stay out of the universities. It cannot flow through the universities. These are brands engaging directly with student athletes and compensating them for their name, image, and likeness. They need a place to do that the right way. And that's where Icon Source provides a lot of value. And just think about, we'll keep it Athens-based, the brands in Athens, in downtown Athens, in Oconee County, you know, they love Georgia athletics. And whether it is the baseball team, the football team, the basketball team, men's golf, who's about to compete for a national championship, hopefully, women's soccer, which is great, off of South Millage. I mean, these are teams and athletes who do engage with their local communities, who do have great social media reach, who do have the ability to speak authentically to the brands who want to engage with them. Now these brands finally, for the first time in history, have an opportunity to engage with them, pay them for their name, image, and likeness, and it creates awesome two-way value. So it's really an exciting time for all student athletes. I think we get hung up on the football players, on the quarterbacks, on the, you know, national award winners. Think about the trickle down here, women's gymnastics, women's soccer, golf. There's just a ton of opportunity in these great college towns like Athens.
Well, I think that your perspective on that piece of it is very important, because I think what a lot of fans are saying is, all right, well, this is going to help the quarterback or the receiver, whoever's in the Heisman race, but you're a punter, Drew. You weren't going to be getting your jersey sold in the bookstore, most likely. So how would this have impacted you? Would it create fissures in a team, or is it really kind of like Dan Quinn here, the brotherhood that, you know, you want to see your brothers make money?
You know, it's a great question. It's one that comes up really often. Me personally, would I have gotten some opportunity? I think so. I mean, I had some success in college, won a couple of awards, you know, with my dad. Maybe there was something in that realm. But my co-host on Punt and Pass, Aaron Murray, would have made hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, there's no doubt about it. A guy who I talk to about Icon Source a lot is Keith Marshall. Keith Marshall would have made hundreds of thousands of dollars. Gershel, how marketable were Todd and Keith? How good were they? It's really, that is a perfect case study of the positive effects of this NIL rule change. Keith could have made significant amounts of money in college, right? Obviously, he got injured. His NFL career did not pan out the way anybody had thought it would. And he would have had a great head start. And he earned it because of how good he played. Now, you talk about the locker room aspect, right? You talk about, is this going to create fissures among the team? I liken it to the NFL. I mean, look, when I was in the NFL, I got paid a salary. It was not anywhere close to Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald. You know why? Because they're really good at football. Carson threw touchdowns. Larry caught touchdowns. They got paid a boatload of money, right? I mean, that does not drive a team away from each other. I think this is simply welcome to the real world for student athletes, right? Like, this is a meritocracy. If you are the third string lineman, but you have an awesome kick-ass YouTube page, you're going to be able to make pretty significant amounts of money. It just, the web spreads really wide. I think we all get caught up on, hey, this might tear apart the team. If JT Daniels throws 5 touchdowns against Clemson in week 1, if he's on Icon Source, which he will be, man, he will have opportunities like he's never seen before, and he earned it. That is the benefit of what name, image, and likeness compensation is. And I think it's just great for anybody to be able to have that opportunity. And the time is now. And I'm glad Governor Kemp signed the bill, because student athletes in the state of Georgia will be protected by that law, and they'll have the opportunity to make that money July 1st.
Have you been having to parse through the different bills from the different states and see what's allowed where and why?
Yeah. And we do. I mean, we read all the bills. We read the federal bills that have been proposed at the national level. Georgia's a good bill. You know, that provision that everybody got caught up on, of course, the negative naysayers just hung on to it and said, this is ridiculous. How could that ever happen? Look, it's a provision. I mean, I'm not a politician. I'm not a legislator. I would imagine that the politicians put that provision in there just to provide flexibility, okay? Maybe they wipe their hands clean, and if this thing doesn't go the way they want it to, they could look back and say, well, they had that option, and they didn't do it. Here's the bottom line, though.
And tell the audience what that provision is, really, please, so they're informed on it. So essentially, it's saying that a university within the state of Georgia, based on the law, could take up to 75% of what is earned in the name, image, and likeness. It's not that they keep it or anything, but it would almost be some form of redistribution through an escrow, put it in an account, and then it goes there later on. And then immediately the University of Georgia said, yeah, we're not doing that. Didn't hear that piece of it.
Of course. And do you know why the University of Georgia is not going to do it, and why Georgia Tech and Georgia Southern and Georgia State aren't going to do it? Because it would kill you in recruiting. And if it hurts in recruiting, you're not going to do it. So everybody latched onto that provision. The universities came out and said, yeah, we see it. We're not going to do it. Our student athletes will be able to make money on July 1st, which is really exciting. I mean, it's a very, very exciting time. And we kind of scale back a little bit. It's not going to be this massive windfall of endorsement deals on day one. There will be an ebb and flow, and we'll learn how these things happen. But there's absolutely no doubt that if student athletes are on Icon Source, they're going to be best positioned, best protected, and we ensure the payment. I think one of the best examples is this. We'll use JT Daniels, for example. And we'll use my favorite restaurant in Athens, the Royal Peasant, in 5 points. Best burger in Athens. Come at me if you don't agree with me.
You're not getting paid for that either.
I'm not. I just love Ivan, love Mike and the team. Those are my guys. Okay. Whenever I'm in Athens, I got to go there. Got to give them a shout out. If JT Daniels walks into Royal Peasant and they say, hey, man, you come here 3 times a week. We absolutely love you. Why don't you do an Instagram post for us, and we'll Venmo you $500 right now on the spot. JT could say, yeah, that sounds great. Of course, after July 1st, he could post it. Did he sign a contract? I don't know. If he did sign a contract, did he read the contract? You know, on page 5, is he signing away his first year's NFL salary? I don't know. Say he does post the Instagram post. Did he get paid? Maybe the guys don't pay him on Venmo. Now he's got to go back into the restaurant and say, hey, man, what the heck? I posted this for you. You got to pay me. It's a really arduous and painstaking task for the student athlete to, one, actually facilitate the deal on their own. And then when the deal's done, so say it does go through smoothly. Say he does sign a contract. It looks good. Say he does get the Venmo payment for $500. Now he's got to take all that information, the payment, the contract, the communication that he had with the brand or restaurant, go to Georgia's compliance office, use whatever disclosure platform that they have, manually put in what he did. Hey, here's the communication we had. Here's my contract. I'll upload it as a PDF. Here is the payment that they provided me with. Is it approved? Okay. So JT, who has class, tutors, study hall, practice, film sessions, games, regular college life, now has to carve out time in his day to go do boring compliance paperwork. Okay. That is a world of trouble, because I think those $55 to $500 Venmo payments look a lot more attractive. Me as a former student athlete, and you go, man, maybe I don't have to report it. Now, if he is on Icon Source, Here's how it happens. JT walks into Royal Peasant. They say, JT, you come here three times a week. Why don't we do a $500 Instagram post and we'll compensate you? He goes, that's awesome. Please go find me on iConSource. Royal Peasant can sign up for iConSource in 2 minutes. They can create an opportunity and send it to JT all on the app on our phone, iConSource. The facilitation of the deal is done. We secure the transaction. All that information automatically gets integrated and sent to Georgia's compliance department so JT can go about his day, right? The student athletes know that they have the peace of mind and the confidence. Hey, I'm doing it the right way. I'm going to get paid, and I don't have to do the boring legwork. That's the benefit that iConSource provides for name, image, and likeness on behalf of the student athletes.
It sounds like it probably gives protection too from just some of the bad actors that can get involved and get close to these players, because that's one of the concerns that I had, is that, like, okay, if the money flow is there, which, look, in some cases the money flow has been there. I mean, we can say what we want to say.
Of course.
But who's going to be around these guys? Who's going to be in their inboxes? Because they're still 18, 20-year-old kids without the real-world information of the ramifications of their decisions. And that's not a position that I think any young athlete should be put in. And frankly, that's one of the things I think with Todd Gurley. He signed some autographs. How is he supposed to know anything? You know, that was a bad – A.J. Green, how could you not know? It's his jersey. Why couldn't he sell it? So those are the things anything that keeps those bad actors, the stereotypical 60-year-old guy that's just trying to make profit off of a, you know, teenager, that, to me, that's the protection that I like hearing from your company.
It might drive them away. To your point, Dane, hey, go find me on iConSource. We force them to answer a series of questions that get uploaded into our contract template. Again, the contract template made by the lawyers who did thousands of deals for Red Bull. I mean, it is a pristine template to where brands answer questions. It gets uploaded into the contract. It provides heavy protection to the student athlete, clearly legible term sheet so they know exactly what they have to do. To your point, It will drive away bad actors. Hey, no, just do it with me on the side. Athletes are going to go, no, because I don't want to risk my eligibility, right? At least I would do that if I was in their shoes at that time. And then too, I mean, we talk about us sending all the information to compliance for them to disclose it. At the end of the year, a single 1099 is provided to the student athlete, all your tax information, because welcome to the real world, you're going to have to report your income of the money you make on your name, image, and likeness. So again, it just goes to speak of how much, and this is the largest change in college athletics in over 100 years. There is so much movement here. And the benefit of being a software company and being able to ebb and flow and talk with compliance, say, hey, should we do this? Should we change this? Student athletes, do you like this? Do you not like that? Having that flexibility to adapt and help them out in real time is going to be huge. So it's been a lot of fun talking with them.
How much money do you think is about to be generated in this? Or I know you said you think it'll probably be a slow drip at first as people get their footing under them. Do you see this as being multi-million, approaching billion one day?
You know, we have an adjustable market that we viewed, and it's rather conservative, but sit with me here for a second and I'll talk you through some figures. All right. There are roughly 460,000 student athletes in the NCAA. If one half of 1%, so if 2,300 kids in America, in all sports, make $100,000 a year, that's over $200 million, right? We feel like that's pretty conservative because I think Joe Burrow might have made $1 million in his senior year, right? You're talking about guys who will blow that $100,000 mark way out of the water. You're talking about athletes like Matthew Bowling on the track team who has 200,000 Instagram followers. You're looking at gymnasts who are going to be competing in the Olympics this summer, who are going to be back on campus with massive marketability. The regional sports like lacrosse up in the Northeast, water polo out West or volleyball out West. You know, soccer in North Carolina, like there are specific sports where these athletes have huge followings and the brands love to support these teams. So we think that's a conservative estimate. One half of 1% making $100,000 a year puts you at over a $200 million market cap just on name, image, and likeness. So we're really interested to see where that goes. And of course, as people get more comfortable with this happening, it's only going to drive up because sports marketing is one of the best ways for brands to leverage themselves and create more exposure for themselves, especially in hyper-local college towns like Athens or Knoxville or Oxford or Baton Rouge. And then that spreads regionally, Atlanta, Nashville, Jacksonville, to nationally, like Delta or Coca-Cola stepping in and saying, hey, JT, you're a Heisman finalist. Let's hook you up. You know, we're going to give you a sweet deal to be a spokesperson or whatnot.
Do you see this ever expanding to like high school? I know that there's fewer high schoolers that could, you know, actually get those endorsements, but there are some out there.
Yeah, you know, that's another question that I get asked often. Will it expand to high schools? You know, that's up to the federal legislators to really figure out. This is a free market. There's no cap on what student athletes can make. One thing that they are trying to stay away from, which everybody can agree to, stay away from pay to play, which is what? A company in Athens or a company in Gainesville engages with a senior five-star recruit from California and essentially says, why would you go to SC if you come to Florida? I've got a $150,000 endorsement deal waiting on you. Can't do that, right? That can't happen. And I think they're going to have guardrails up to protect against that. The key is NCAA wants student athletes. We think they want student athletes to profit off their individual name, image, and likeness, but they want to uphold amateurism. Everybody can agree to that. And I think that's what's really exciting is that you're going to be able to maintain the hallmark of collegiate athletics, but allow these kids to make money off their name, image, and likeness, which they deserve.
I mean, I think you're right that they don't want pay to play. But one thing I'm already seeing is that the coaches are saying, hey, Atlanta's right there. That's going to that's the film capital of the South. If you want to be a little local celebrity, Georgia provides you opportunities that other places may not.
Yeah. And, you know, I did a radio interview in Nashville last Thursday. And after the interview, I kid you not, I got a phone call directly from a Division I head football coach who listened to the interview and said, you need to come up to my school and talk to our team because they're engaging with the groups who are educating the student athletes. And the coach said before they left for the month of May, because most everybody's at home for the month of May, he told his athletes, he said, guys, understand that you have to educate yourself, and then we're going to try to figure out where to send you to get paid, right? You can't just leave these student athletes on their own and let them do all the heavy lifting and the legwork to facilitate deals. We want to provide them that platform. And keep in mind, the reason we can do that is because we have no official relationship or business contract with the universities. We are agnostic. We are a true third party. We can integrate and play with anybody. And that's why we have a real unique position in the image and likeness market. And I keep looking and looking, and I have not found anybody who's doing what we're doing to provide for the student athletes, protect them, and make sure they get compensated the right way. Whether it's a $50 deal or a $50,000 deal, it has to be done the right way.
College athletics is one of those things that fans romanticize about. And I think it's kind of like music in the sense that, like, whatever your team was or whatever sport that you liked in your formative years, teens and 20s, and maybe it's because that's the age of the players at that point too. I think fans end up yearning for that, at least in my case, and maybe it's a bit of yours too. Those David Green, David Pollock teams, if you grew up in the state of Georgia, those were really iconic. That's the same era as like Chipper Jones for the Braves. But college football's changing. You just said 100 years, this is the biggest change in the sport in 100 years. Is there a bit of you that, like, I don't want to say is uncomfortable with it, but when fans would be uncomfortable with some of these changes happening, what would you kind of tell them?
You know, I would just go back to say, this is not the universities paying the kids. You know, these kids earn it. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't get that across to a fan, a casual fan who would be ardently against name, image, and likeness. You're sitting there going, this kid earned it. Like, he is not getting paid on top of his scholarship by the university. And I don't take for granted whatsoever the fact that I was on full scholarship at Georgia, the resources you have as a student athlete at UGA, the help that you have from the student athlete academic advisory side, the facilities at your disposal, you know, Buttsmere, what they're doing. I mean, there's nothing better. Right? But you do have to give up something in return. You don't have the life of a regular student. I wanted to be a broadcast journalism major at Grady, and I couldn't do that because at the time you had to work at the TV station. And I couldn't do it in the spring because we had mat drills and spring ball, and obviously couldn't do it in the fall because you had season and travel. So I had to give that up and get my telecommunications degree, right? Like, that is a sacrifice that I made. You know, you make sacrifices to become a student athlete. You don't take your full scholarship for granted, but now you get the added bonus of being able to be compensated for your name, image, and likeness. So I think that's the biggest thing for everybody to understand, is that these kids are earning it, whether it's through social media, whether it's through the outreach they have in their community, or whether it's because they're balling on the football field. And if you don't like that JT Daniels throws 5 touchdowns versus Clemson and he gets a little bit of money on the side, well, then I don't know if I can help you. I think everybody would be rooting for that. We hope JT makes $10 million next year, because it probably means Georgia's going to be doing pretty damn good.
Sounds like you need to come back and get your master's in journalism. So you have that degree too.
You know, I started my sport management master's and I think I got like 12 credits left. So if anybody wants to help me out, if I could do it online, I might look into it, but I'm busy, man. I'm busy.
Yeah. It sounds like you got a lot going on. I want to wrap up here and actually talk a little ball with you because Let's I know you like doing that too. Georgia coming into this season, you know, to at least the things that we've been talking about, lack of depth at defensive back. With George Pickens being out, what's the deal with wide receivers in a game where it seems like you have to be able to pass and stop the pass? That would be the red flags for Georgia. What are you seeing from the roster in terms of projections as we head into summer?
You know, I think the general development of defensive backs since Kirby's been the coach at Georgia has been great, right? This is not the first time where DB has been a question mark heading into a season. I think Coach Lanning and Coach Smart do really well at developing that talent. I think with their expertise and the athletes that Georgia has, that is teachable throughout the season, really throughout camp, right? Obviously, these guys are going to be tuned up in camp, getting ready to play Clemson week one. There is certainly a general sense throughout offseason when you have a big game like that in week one, there's no doubt about it. I'm not worried about the defense. You know why? Because Georgia's defensive line is going to be stellar, mm-hmm. right? And they got great linebackers as well. You know what the best way to make your secondary great is to rush the quarterback and make him make quick decisions. Like that is how you make your DBs really elite and help them out the most. So I think that general progression will happen naturally through coaching and through pure athleticism throughout the season. I think the defense is going to be a hallmark. Switching to the offensive side of the ball, you know, year two of Todd Monken's offense with JT clearly being the starter is great for Georgia. You know, I was hoping at the end of last year, let's not have a QB competition. Let's get the messaging straight. Let's get everybody in the pile, hand on top of one another and say, JT's our quarterback, right? We'll have a competition for number two. Obviously, if Brock outplays JT, then who knows? But JT's our guy heading into the season. Let everybody rally around him. I'm more so worried about the offensive line. They lost a lot in the draft. You know, helping JT stay upright is going to be huge. Giving him the time to use that arm and deliver the ball downfield with accuracy is going to be huge. And it's time for some guys to step up. You know, D-Rob, hey, he came back. It would be awesome if he had a fantastic season. Burton, he's going to be good. Thankfully, he's healthy. Tight ends at your disposal. You know, Todd Monken's got a lot of toys to play with. It's up for these guys to make it happen. And man, getting ready for that game in Charlotte, it's going to be a lot of fun. I cannot wait for that.
I'm excited to kind of hear the first breakdown that you and Aaron have together because especially his view at quarterbacks. And then, you know, Coach Donnan says this all the time when we were with him that, you know, every third play involves some kind of kick. And so
that's right.
You know, 30% of the game or whatever involves some kind of kick. So I'm sure you have to love what you're seeing from Jake Camarda and then Jack Podlesny too, especially coming off of that Peach Bowl win.
Yeah, I mean, Jake's a freak. His leg strength is unbelievable. I mean, I was nowhere close to that sort of leg speed. And he was so much more consistent last year. I know he had a couple of kicks that he would like to have back, you know, late in the year. But Pod, you know, with that kick in the Peach Bowl, he's going to have a lot of hype to live up to. I hope he does live up to the hype. It seems like he's a guy that puts in the work and really stays focused. And then Coach Cochran, I mean, really, he gets these guys to play at a super high level. Yeah, kicking is important, but covering the kicks is just as important. Getting those athletes on the field, having them understand what coverage is and what schemes that they're looking out for to take advantage of some field position has been huge. I really think special teams might be the most solid unit heading into the season, which is great because like Coach Donnan says, hey, if it's a third of the game, you better win it. And if you do win it, you automatically have a leg up, take care on offense or defense, and you have a better chance to win the game.
One last thing on NIL, and please. It's only because we're talking special teams here. From a media perspective, I'm really pumped about it because I think it's going to inspire these kids to show more of their personalities.
Absolutely.
Whereas everything in the culture has said, let's bury that and put team first and everything. So I think you're going to get to know the players and where they're from and their history and their stories, which, you know, from someone that graduated from Grady College, just like you did, and someone that works there now and does the media deal. That's so exciting to me because Rodrigo Blankenship shouldn't be one in a million. There's, you know, he's kind of a quirky kid. He wears the glasses. He gets on the stage. He has the big kicks. Like that should be half the team that's willing to be that way. And maybe the coaches aren't going to like that. I don't know. I really don't care.
Yeah. I mean,
but to me, that's a really good byproduct of this.
I totally agree. And that's the benefit of Icon Source. If Rod had an Icon Source when he was in college, he would create his profile. He'd put where he's from, you know, Sandy Springs, Georgia. I went to this high school. I now live in Athens. I love Legos. I love Star Wars. I want to, you know, rec specs, all this stuff. You know, he would really be able to show his personality, put those likes and interests in there. And then if, you know, a game store off Broad Street wanted to engage with Rodrigo, they create a profile for free. They say, hey, I'm looking for student athletes at Georgia who are interested in Legos and Pokemon and Star Wars. Boom, Rodrigo would pop up. They can have that engagement, facilitate a deal. Everybody does it the right way. The brand's protected. Rodrigo gets paid. That information gets thrown to compliance. Rodrigo can go worry about making kicks, not having to sit in the compliance officer's room and file paperwork. We don't want that to happen for the student athletes. We want them to be best protected. And that's the value Icon Source provides for the student athletes and for the universities and for the brands. So it's truly a win-win-win.
Well, and it's like any other company, the more money that players are able to make, the more the coaches are able to use that in recruiting.
Yeah.
And again, look, there are shady actors in the recruiting process at every big time school and even some of the smaller ones too. So if this helps weeds that out, I'm also a fan of that too. So I know this is a bit of a new frontier and you're at kind of at the head of it to see how this is going to help players and impact them. Drew, is there any kind of final words about NIL or your podcast or anything you want to share with our audience?
I would just say, look, I know UGA Sports audience is awesome. You guys put out great work. Shout out to Roddy Nabulsi. He got me started in the media. I used to write articles and host Dog Dial back when I was still with the Cardinals. So that was always a ton of fun. But if you're a small business owner in Athens, listening to this podcast, now is your chance. Go sign up on iconsource.com. It's totally free. You can sign up. You can start to look through the college student athletes or the professional athletes if you're interested on July 1st. And it's your opportunity to engage with these student athletes and compensate them to use their name, image, and likeness to help out your brand. And if you are a student athlete listening to this, sign up on Icon Source as well. Download our app. Dane, I really appreciate it, man. Always great to talk with you. And if I disagree with you on Twitter, I will I'll be sure to call you out. And if you have any questions, anybody listening has any questions about Icon Source, hit me up on Twitter at Drew Butler.
Do you know what that was about? I wrote kind of artistically about JT Daniels of how he talked to media.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
I was so bored with quarterback speak. Yes. And you were so right to call me out because I went way over the top. But it was we're both like dads, so we tell dad jokes, and that's what I do. You know,
that's funny.
I go over the top with the tongue-in-cheek stuff. So you were right to call me out, but I was also right to write it.
And you can call me out too, bro. We'll hold each other accountable.
Sounds good, Drew. Hey, thanks for joining us here, and we'll do it again soon, okay?
All right, Dane, have a good one, man.